Good day to you, brothers, sisters, friends, and new faces, and welcome to Current Events and Christian Expectations. And today in this podcast, we're going to be talking about unidentified flying objects, that's UFOs. We'll lead off with Ezekiel 1, verses 15 through 16, and we'll have many other scriptures that we reference and read today, and we'll put those in the overview. But with unidentified angelic phenomena at the core, let's just dig right in.
All right. Thank you, Randy. There's still a great continuing interest in UFOs. This is March 27th and 2024. And earlier today, I was watching C-SPAN, and they had a speaker on there just written a book on UFOs. And he was holding forth with the government's involvement and the science of it, the alien possibility of it. So it's continued to be quite a subject. Used to be UFOs, people my age, still call them UFOs. A government changed it a few years back to UAP, Unidentified Aerial Phenomenon, to try to move away from kind of the stranger stories that I guess that are associated with UFOs.
There's a stigma around UFO stories.
Right. Yeah. So they're trying to do that. And whether they were successful at that or not, I don't know, because then they released all those Navy videos.
Yeah.
And people once again piqued interest. Well, what are UFOs or UAPs? They are not this. Ezekiel 1, 15 and 16.
Now, as I looked at the living creatures, I saw a wheel on the earth beside the living creatures, one for each of the four of them. As for the appearance of the wheels and their construction, their appearance was like the gleaming of beryl, and the four had the same likeness, their appearance and construction being, as it were, a wheel within a wheel.
A lot of UFO enthusiasts have used this passage to say, among some other passages, it's a UFO.
Yeah.
First of all, it's not unidentified. It's clearly the throne of God, the chariot throne of God. And if you read chapter one, you know that. There was a fellow named Eric von Däniken, and I read his book back in 1970 called The Chariots of the Gods. And it was a huge hit. It's still a big seller on Amazon. And he was one of these, I think, who promoted this business of using the Bible. He talked about the Ark of the Covenant also being alien technology. And I was maybe a Christian for about a year then, but having just started reading the Bible, and then I'd read him, I thought this guy didn't even read the research in the Bible to get the context of what he's talking about. Mm. And of course, there's always and has been going on for, I guess, for two, three decades, a growing thing about aliens visiting this planet. You have stories, movies,
abductions, some kinds of stuff.
The cable channel, the History Channel, has a whole series on alien technology. Aliens have been here before, and yada 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 yada.
Well, things not of this world interest us.
Things not of this world, which are strange, are always of interest. Absolutely. Well, let's begin with this: Ephesians 2, verses 1, 2, and 3.
And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind.
Following the course of this world, following, and he puts the course of this world is one that's directed following the work of the prince of the power, and of course that is Satan, the prince of the power of the air. Is that not an interesting designation for Satan?
Aerial phenomena,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Here is a quote from the Greek Orthodox Study Bible, back edited 2008, and it says well about this passage, quote, two unequal kingdoms or war. Each is spiritual in nature. Each stamps its image on its subjects and requires strict obedience. Yet they are opposites. The king of the lesser realm is a created being, Satan. His domain is of the air, neither fully of earth nor of heaven. Now that ends the quote. And let me expand on that. It's not fully of earth because he does not and cannot fill all of earth, because earth is the Lord's, Psalm 24:1.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and those who dwell therein.
Whatever the machinations and schemes of Satan, prince of power of the air, does not change who owns the planet and truly who really runs it. And Paul, by the way, quotes that Psalm 24:1 and 1 Corinthians 10:26 as well. And he does not obviously fill heaven because he's been exiled since the ascension and enthronement of Jesus and Revelation 12, which we've used before in podcasts. Mm-hmm. Pretty well points that out. Here's a quote from ABC News, March 8th of this year, in which they state the Pentagon says there is, quote, no evidence of extraterrestrial origin, end of quote, of UFOs or UAPs. And again, UAP is an update from the UFO terminology. Nor is there any evidence of extraterrestrial technology from reverse engineering.
Roswell, they think we...
And in science fiction movies have been very popular over the years. Well, this is at variance with the New York Times article back in December the 16th of 2017 on what is then, I think it's called AATIP, Government Study, Advanced Aviation Threat Identification Program. Of course, only the government would come up with that kind of a tongue twister.
They're paid by the letter, consultants.
I believe it. According to CNN, December the 19th of 2017, quote, among the anomalies this program studied, the paper said, were video and audio recordings of aerial encounters by military pilots and unknown objects, as well as interviews with people who said they had experienced physical encounters with such objects. In one instance, the quote goes on, the program looked at video footage of a Navy FA-18 Super Hornet surrounded by a glowing object of unknown origin traveling at a high rate of speed in a location that officials declined to identify, end of quote. Well, this seems to be a movement away from recent stories and videos released by the Navy and their interaction with UFOs. Mm-hmm. The government, through most of the 20th century, was in denial about UFOs, claiming virtually almost all those sightings were swamp gas, the planet Venus, balloons, jets, airplanes. My own quirky way of getting through life back in the early years was I made a hobby of studying UFOs, and they were entrancing to me. Back when I was in high school, I started getting the books on them, Project Blue Book and all those, and moved on up later on in the 70s. There were books like Incident at Exeter by John Fuller, which was a good, and it was a big bestseller. Interrupted Journey, which we might mention later on, Barney and Betty Hill's story of being abducted, and so forth and so on. Well, here is Walter Martin and other writers in a book called The Kingdom of the Occult, published by Thomas Nelson. And this is from page 370. So listen to this. Quote, from a Christian standpoint, those who communicate with UFOs and extraterrestrial beings have always delivered messages contrary to the Bible. This can be attributed in a large part to the occult methods that they employ when they receive their messages. Christians may not have ready answers to every question about UFO sightings, and I might add we don't, but in the face of extraterrestrial doctrine, no question remains as to the source of the message. Spiritual beings opposed to God's truth and thus demonic in nature, end of quote.
You know, you look at some of the abduction stories as well, you know, they are all sexual in nature in some
There's a lot of sexual oddities involved.
Yeah, and it's like if there were a intelligent being, like they wouldn't be doing that stuff.
Yeah. If they were intelligent, they would not come to planet Earth to study our sex life.
No.
I think that's...
No, it'd be pretty easily understood pretty quickly. They wouldn't need
Yeah. So where to begin? Now, here's some caveats. First of all, we're dealing mostly with angels in this podcast. Are angels demons? Some people think angels and demons are the same thing.
Well, they probably both are the same in this instance. They're probably both UFOs because they're not of this world.
They both are involved, I think, in UFO activity.
Yeah.
In my view, this is the way I interpret the scripture, demons inhabit people mostly. That's what they do, and they mess with them. The ESV, English Standard Version, has 26 times it translates that word as unclean spirits. 73 times it just refers to them as demons. I have not found in scripture, and somebody out there can correct me, and I'll be open to that, but no angels are ever said to enter into or possess people.
Never seen it either.
It is always a demon. And so I think they may be a different spiritual order. However, if we assume, and we will for this podcast, that Satan was an angel, the highest angel of all, the archangels of archangels, he is said to have entered into a person. That is true. Luke 22:3.
Then Satan entered into Judas called Iscariot, who was the number of the 12.
There you go. Satan. Fallen angels with their master Satan are spirits of the air. Demons are earthbound, basically. That's one of the ways I see it. That's not to say that demons that we already mentioned aren't involved with UFOs. I think the purpose of UFO sightings in the air is to deceive those on the ground. We get your attention in the air, and then you want to be in contact, and that means that they got to come down to ground, where demons are ready to follow the master's plan. But whether demons are of a different spirit order or the ground troops of Satan in this UFO war against truth, make no mistake, they are 100% occult in their dealings to deceive people away from the living God and his word by any means necessary. That is the Christian understanding. The fellow I was listening to today on C-SPAN went on and on and on, and not once came up with an understanding of the demonic or the use of fallen angels by Satan, his angels, to do these things. We might ask, what does the what does the government know? Well, the government probably knows that they're not aliens from outer space. Here's a recent book I've read by Father, because he's Greek Orthodox, Father Spyrian Bailey, and his book, The UFO Deception, and that was published in 2021, just 3 years ago. At the end of the book, he says the government most probably will use whatever information they have on such phenomena to their advantage if the occasion arises. And I think he's right.
I think he's right, too.
In other words, one day we'll get an announcement, aliens have invaded the government, must take over. Warning, we touch on the occult in this podcast, and we have no desire to leave the impression that pursuing UFOs is a good thing.
No, it's not.
I remember C.S. Lewis's quote on demons. There are two errors humans make, to deny their existence and want to know nothing, and to become obsessed with it.
Yeah.
What we need is the information we need to have from Scripture to understand what's going on and leave the rest to the Lord. So, where comes the fallen angels' powers if angels are UFOs or masquerading as UFOs? Where's this come from? How they do it? Here's the answer. No doubt the same powers they had before they fell. That's why we're going to look at good angels in this podcast and their powers, and then understand that when you fall as an angel, you retain those powers. We will see that and know it because Satan obviously has power, and he had those powers before he fell. So, we won't examine all the aspects of the realm of fallen angels and their activities, just those that bear on our subject. Let's start with Satan, who it is assumed was the top angelic being when he fell, taking many angels with him. We know there are at least two scriptures, and the mouth of two or three is all you need for scriptural evidence. Here's the first one, to show that Satan and his angels are one together. He's the leader, they're with him. They're an entity. Matthew 25:41.
Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels.
The devil and his angels, not demons, although he is also the master of demons, but these are angels. And then how many fell? Well, here's a possibility. Revelation 12:4.
His tail swept down a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she bore her child, he might devour it.
Right. The dragon in chapter 12, of course, is Satan. And the woman refers to Israel, a specific individual, Mary, who's about to give birth to the Messiah, Jesus. He swept down a third of the stars. Stars in the book of Revelation, 9 times out of 10, are always referring to angels.
So at least 30% of the angels.
So, I think that may very well be a reference to it, because what he wants is the angels who are with him now to be in line with his purpose to kill the Messiah. Mm. And as he understands it, of course, Satan's thinking was not right on this. We know that. Given Satan was a top prince of the angels and remained so when he fell, Paul says he's the prince of the power of the air. That means he's got powers. He kept them. Keep in mind, Jesus referred to Satan as the ruler of this world 3 times. And Rainey's going to read three verses from John in order. John 12:31, then chapter 14:30, then chapter 16:11.
Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged.
Okay, this being the truth, clearly he has possession of his original powers, subject only to God Almighty.
Mm.
The prince of the power of the air with his angels are described by Paul in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 this way.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over these present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places.
The heavenly places refers to that invisible realm, which we'll look at in just a minute. Cosmic powers, authorities, rulers, that's the hierarchy of the angels, which they retain even though they have fallen. And Paul is saying the devil has his schemes, but he works behind flesh and blood.
Mm.
That's the UFO phenomenon for one of his schemes. The invisible realm, and if anybody's interested, there was a great book years ago written by Donald J. Barnhouse called The Invisible War, which deals, of course, not with UFOs, but with the whole concept of what is going on in the Bible behind the scenes. It's a good book to read and get some information on that. But listen to this from Colossians 1, verses 15 and 16.
He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him.
Visible, of course, flesh and blood, and invisible, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, authorities. And that includes all angels, good and bad.
Everything.
They all had a hierarchy in the beginning, and those who deserted with Satan are still in a hierarchy. Satan uses that hierarchy and promotes his powers using flesh and blood as a cover.
Well, the angels are a military unit.
They're a military unit.
They have rank and file, and they have leaders.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Satan, and originally an invisible power, rebelled against God, but he kept his position and powers. And just as surely as Satan kept his powers when he fell, so did his angels. And Satan still has his position and power. Listen to this. This is from Jude 8 and 9.
Yet in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you."
Jude is talking about very rebellious people who defile the flesh. They reject authority, and they blaspheme the glorious ones, which refers to angels,
and that would include
even fallen angels, because he goes on to make a point that when the archangel Michael was contending with the devil for the body of Moses, he didn't blaspheme him. He didn't say bad words to him. He just said, "The Lord rebuke you," which means he still respects the position and the power, though Michael, as we will see, has the power to get him and his angels out of heaven. These are the fallen angels that are still around. There were other angels whose sin was beyond the pale. We don't want to get these angels that Satan now has confused with those. And they're confined in a place called Tartarus until the day of judgment. This is, listen to Jude 6 and 7, then 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4.
And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept an eternal change under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. For if God did not spare angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment.
Right. As ESV says hell, but it's got a footnote and tells you the word actually is Tartarus. And the New English Translation in their footnotes makes a point that the Greeks saw this as a subterranean place lower than Hades, where divine punishment was meted out to people or spirits who needed it.
It's a different place than hell or Sheol.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. And in the apocalyptic literature of Israel, B.C. times coming to A.D., that's exactly how they saw Tartarus as a place, and that's how Peter and Jude see it. There are angels whose sin, when they fell, was so bad, God immediately put them in prison.
Mm.
The others, of course, are with Satan and live on planet Earth. So we're going to look now by way of getting from one to the other, how Satan retained powers, even though he is a fallen angel of some kind, obviously. So we're going to look a couple of verses here at Job to understand that. Job chapter 1, verse 7.
The Lord said to Satan, "From where have you come?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down on it."
Okay, so there begins a conversation between Satan and God. And God says, "Oh, well, if you've been down on earth checking things out, you've seen Job, my great servant. Nothing, no one like him on all the earth. He's a righteous man." And Satan says, "Well, of course, because you bless him with wealth and health and everything else. But let me have at him." And so God's response to Satan on that was Job 1:12.
And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your hand. Only against him do not stretch out your hand." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord.
He went out from the presence of the Lord. And what did he do? We're going to read the passage. It's rather long. But from Job 1, verse 13 down, first of all, he stirred up some warriors, Sabaeans and Chaldeans, to kill his servants doing his Job's work. Then he calls fire come down from heaven to burn up the sheep and Job's servants who were tending the sheep. And then he sent a great wind to destroy the building where his children were celebrating to kill them. So this shows that he had power over people's lives, on the one hand, as well as over the basic elements of earth,
of the world,
wind and fire. As with Satan, whose powers are in place then, despite being fallen, just so with his angels. Otherwise, how could he rule as the God of this age? He's got to have help, and his fallen angels are his help. So now we're going to take a look at this. And I've always found this aspect of angelology really interesting. We're going to look at good angels, what the Bible calls the elect angels, chosen by God because they didn't fall. They're confirmed. And their powers. So we can appreciate that if an angel had this power original when he falls, what could he do with it? Because apparently they still have those powers and they're doing it. So let's look at the first one here. Elect angels can appear and disappear at will. Acts 12, verses 6 and 7.
Now when Herod was about to bring him out on that very night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries before the door were guarding the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood next to him, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on his side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his hands.
Peter was in prison awaiting martyrdom.
Mm-hmm.
The other disciple, James, had already been beheaded. And Herod thought that was a good idea. So he's got Peter there to do the same thing. And then all of a sudden, in the prison, in the dark of the night, an angel shows up and glows, and the light fills the place. And he kicks him in the side, says, "Get up quickly." Angels are always short and to the point, and chains fell off his hand. Now, you can imagine when we have these stories about people who say aliens came into their bedrooms all of a sudden out of nowhere and took them away somewhere.
Yeah.
You begin to see where we're going with this. Even more interesting, talking about invasions into people's bedrooms and are abducted then and taken somewhere, Acts 12:9, we're sure talking about Peter and the angel.
And he went out and followed him. He did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision.
Yeah, confusion between vision and reality.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, the vision is seen as the reality and the people who are abducted.
You see that in abductions as well.
Right? Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Next thing is, angels have, to use a term from Star Trek, bear with us, warp speed. Daniel 9:21-22, and the background is the 70 years about to end of captivity, and Daniel said this wonderful prayer where he confesses his sins, the sins of Israel, get ready for the restoration of Israel after 70 years. And as he's praying, then we have this from Daniel 9, verses 21 and 22.
While I was speaking in prayer, the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the first, came to me in swift flight at the time of the evening sacrifice. He made me understand, speaking with me and saying, "O Daniel, I have now come out to give you insight and understanding."
Right. Gabriel, and we all know Gabriel's an angel. We all know Gabriel talked to Zechariah and talked to Mary, Gospel of Luke. He came to Daniel in swift flight. That doesn't mean he had wings. It just means he got from heaven to there really fast. Well, how fast was that? He said, at the time of the evening sacrifice, he came to me. He made me understand, saying, "Daniel, I've come out to give you strength and understanding." So, as he was praying, when the prayer started, Gabriel left, And the prayer goes on for about maybe a minute or 2 minutes or so. You can read them in Daniel chapter 9. And all of a sudden, boom, Gabriel's there. This shows us about the ability to accelerate. One of the things about UFO fascinations is that they'll go along with like with the Navy jet plane and then
outpace them, leave them in the dust.
Yeah, accelerate. The human body, we're in such a contraption. If indeed a contraption, it would kill you.
Yeah.
And there are multiple videos on this. And also, like lightning, but we're going to come to that in a minute. They have control over wild beasts. Daniel 6, verse 22.
My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm.
This is, of course, the great story of Daniel in the lion's den. And he makes the point, God sent his angel, shut the mouths of lions. That's what angels can do. They can have authority over animals. Now, if you're a fallen angel and you have authority over animals, then you get these strange stories about cattle who have been disemboweled out in farms and people can't understand what's going on, things of that sort. That falls in that category. Then they can cause physical trauma to people. And of course, the abductees and others who've had close encounters of the third kind, their stories are always the same. They've got problems with their body.
Mm-hmm.
They got issues now that they didn't have before. Listen to this from Daniel 10. Verses 2 through 9, this is really interesting.
In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning for 3 weeks. I ate no delicacies, no meat or wine entered my mouth, nor did I anoint myself at all for the full 3 weeks. On the 24th day of the first month, as I was standing on the bank of the great river, that is the Tigris, I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. His body was like beryl, his face like the appearance of lightning, his eyes like flaming torches, his arms and legs like the gleam of burnished bronze, and the sound of his words like the sound of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great trembling fell upon them, and they fled to hide themselves. So I was left alone and saw this great vision, and no strength was left in me. My radiant appearance was fearfully changed, and I retained no strength. Then I heard the sound of his words, and as I heard the sound of his words, I fell on my face in deep sleep with my face to the ground.
Yeah, all of these things mimic people who've had close encounters of the third kind.
Yeah.
Close encounters, the first kind, you see a UFO. Second kind is you're up close. Third kind is when people come out.
Well,
the aliens come out.
Daniel's frozen in place, right? We get that.
Yeah.
They
can't move?
Yeah.
Yeah. He had the appearance of lightning. Daniel saw the vision, but others didn't. We'll talk about this right at the end of it, but there are times when some people can see the UFO and others can't. Sometimes they see UFOs on the radio, radar, when the Navy pilots are talking back and forth. Other times, pilots can see them, but they're not on the radar. It's very interesting. Others couldn't see the vision. Daniel alone saw it. But nonetheless, they were affected by it. Daniel lost his strength. Deep sleep, and this is this phenomenon known as missing time.
Yeah.
Where Barney and Betty Hill were abducted, they said. And of course, they weren't. This is all fallen angels and demonology, but they all of a sudden they wake up and they're someplace else and they can't remember where they've been and they've lost time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can imagine when an angel's fall, having that ability to so discombobulate people, what they would do to those if they want to be occultic, and they do. Best book on this is The Interrupted Journey with Barney and Betty Hill. I read that back in the 70s and gave it to a good friend of mine, Ova. And it spooked him to death. Nobody else wanted to read it. People say, well, that looks like Jesus from Revelation chapter 1. But you read on in the chapter, you know, it's an angel. It's Gabriel, who later talks about being delayed by the prince of Persia in his flight to earth, which the Son of God would not be delayed by a fallen angel.
No.
Then that's not going to happen. Here's another example of the kind of glory that Daniel saw that the Romans saw. This is Matthew 28, first 4 verses. It's Resurrection Sunday.
Now, after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men.
Yes. Notice this angel, and we don't know who he is, whether it might be an archangel, maybe somebody else in the military echelon. There was a great earthquake when he shows up. I mean, he disturbs the ground, shakes the ground. His appearance was like lightning. And if you ever had a lightning bolt strike, when it catches your eye, flies, it leaves an impression.
Yeah, it's a little unnerving.
It's unnerving. Yeah. And they were like Daniel, dead man, no strength, passed out. So disturbances in nature, great strength, blazing lights, loss of consciousness. This is what a good angel does. Mm. Think about an angel that has fallen who still retains these powers and can do the same thing, especially when they're in the air with the prince of the power of the air. And they can appear as immense. Some UFOs have been identified as big as a football field, maybe 200 feet above somebody's head. And strangely, you never hear anything. Mm-hmm. Okay. But listen to this from Revelation 10, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Then I saw another mighty angel coming down from heaven, wrapped in a cloud, with a rainbow over his head, and his face was like the sun, and his legs like pillars of fire. He had a little scroll open in his hand, and he sat his right foot on the sea and his left foot on the land. And he called out with a loud voice, like a lion roaring. When he called out, the seven thunders sounded.
Yeah, another mighty angel. And notice his face was like the sun. You think, well, we're talking about Jesus. No, it's an angel.
It's not.
Yeah, his face is like the sun. His legs are pillars of fire. But this is an angel. And he had one foot on the sea and one foot on land. So it's an amazing present. Think of an angel having those kind of powers, what they could do, fallen, if they're in the air. And we're all familiar with this one. They can suddenly fill the night sky with light. There was one of the more famous recent years was the Phoenix Lights back in the 90s. Went on for a long time. Listen to this. This is Luke 2, verses 8 through 13.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying.
And suddenly there was with the angel, boom, out of nowhere, a multitude. I mean, one second before, they weren't there. Next second, they're there. Appearing and disappearing at will. Physical manifestation, so that they can be seen, blends into the invisible realm that they've come from. And that's why you can't get clear pictures of these UFO phenomena. Mm. We're talking now about angels like this, but they're fallen. And they can manifest a physical aspect while they're basically invisible.
Well, so they're like interdimensional.
Interdimensional is a good word. In fact, Jacques Vallée, who's a French expert on UFOs, has written several books, and that's his conclusion. He doesn't come all the way to the Christian side of things, but he says clearly there are some kind of entities that are in inner space between things.
Well, it's a world we can't see.
It's a world we can't see.
It's another dimension. It's something.
Right. Yeah. And it's the same reason, again, why on radar, sometimes they'll be talking about the same things, but the radar guy will say, I don't have it in my scope. And the guys in the planes will say, I'm looking at them.
Yeah.
And other times they're on the radar and they can't be seen. So, yeah. I mean, very strange. They can appear as human. And this is one of the big things that angels do in the Bible. They show up and they look like men. They look like men. We see that in the resurrection appearances. A man in white is in the tomb when the women come there. So listen to Genesis 19, verses 1 and 3. This is the story of the fall of Sodom and Gomorrah.
The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, "My lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way." They said, "No, we will spend the night in the town square." But he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate.
Two angels come like just fellow travelers. They sit down to a meal that Lot provides, and they eat, drink, and all of that. They appear as human. Now, think of the same angels as fallen. Could they not present themselves in some hideous fashion?
Mm.
And that seems to be the case with a lot of these occult situations. And that's why, and of course, there'll be a strategy there. So That's how you get this consistency across the board of gray men with big eyes and little bodies and all that business. And they can speak the language, obviously, of whoever they are sent to. We know that from Daniel in the book of the Old Testament, who's Hebrew, and then Greek-speaking shepherds and Hebrew, and maybe Aramaic as well in the New Testament. And angels who are elect can see and learn, so we know that if they're fallen, that learning continues except on the dark side. Because listen to 1 Peter 1:12.
It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preach the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look.
One wonders, how do the people involved in the occult get knowledge about other people? It seems supernatural at times. There's your answer. They can learn. They can give strength to people. They have ability to transmit strength. Listen to Daniel 10, 17, 18.
How can my Lord's servant talk with my Lord? For now no strength remains in me, and no breath is left in me. Again, one having the appearance of a man touched me and strengthened me.
The appearance of a man, that is to say an angel, touched him, and strength filled the body of Daniel. Approaching the age of 80, I like to have my own guardian angel lay his hand on me once in a while and give me some strength. Luke 22:43.
And there appeared to him an angel from heaven strengthening him.
That's Jesus getting strength from an angel. Imagine a fallen angel, the powers they could have to do with people. They do have strength to restrain the elect angels. Listen to Daniel 10, verses 20 and 21.
Then he said, do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia, and when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. But I will tell you what is inscribed in the book of truth. There is none who contends by my side against these except Michael, your prince.
This is in the heavenlies, as Paul would call it, in the invisible realm. When the angel came to bring this message to Daniel, he was stopped by the prince, you know, prince of power of the air. This is one of his under-princes, and he's called the prince of Persia because every nation, apparently, as we read the Old Testament, had a fallen angel over it, because originally those were good angels meant to do good things, and now they don't. And he was stopped. Gabriel was stopped, and that's a bad thing because he had a message from God to be delivered to Daniel. So clearly fallen angels have strength because the prince of Persia, and then Greece comes on. That's the next big nation to take over. You know they have power and strength. They have power to blind people. Genesis 19:1, back to the two angels of Sodom and Gomorrah, and verse 11.
The two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he arose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great, so that they wore themselves out, groping for the door.
Think what a fallen angel could do with that kind of power and do damage to a body. And as Randy mentioned earlier, they're an army. Here's this wonderful, looking behind the flesh and blood scenes of earth where the battles of the spiritual warfare take place, 2 Kings 6:15 through 17.
When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha.
Yes, those who are with us, meaning the elect angels, are more than a flesh and blood army on the ground. And what did he see when he opened his eyes up and he saw, behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha? Note the accommodation of culture. They had chariots in those days. The spiritual realm has their own chariots, apparently, and they're made like a fire because angels are described that way, as we'll see. And also, it's interesting when you go back and do a history of strange phenomena in the sky, they always seem to accommodate the culture of the time, whether it's the 1700s, 1800s, different shapes through the centuries. Arcs are seen. Ships are seen when ships are the way of transportation, the no planes. And then UFO saucer thing was a new thing that came along in the 1940s by the pilot who described what he saw as saucers. They are armies. Listen to Revelation 19, 14, and 15. These are the good armies, the good angels of heaven.
And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty.
Yeah, armies of heaven. That's not the saints. The saints come back with Jesus, but these are the angels who return with him. And we find that they return with him in 1 Thessalonians 4 and Matthew 13 and all those other places. And they are flame flowers when they come. The fire accompanies the second coming. Listen to this then from Psalm 104, the first four verses.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment, stretching out the heavens like a tent. He lays the beams of his chambers on the waters. He makes the clouds his chariot. He rides on the wings of the wind. He makes his messengers winds, his ministers of flaming fire.
Ministers of flaming fire. Burn anomalies. People who have burns, they sometimes describe as radiation, but as burns that come from close encounters. Satan, who has been occultic from the beginning, as he was with Eve in the garden, along with his army of fallen angels and perhaps at times enlisting foot soldiers, the demons, uses these powers to do great deception and harm. The UFO phenomena is used by Satan to draw people to the occult. Now, here's a quote, and again, I've read many, many books on the UFO phenomena. This is the best ever. If you want a book, it's by a man named John Keel. It's back in print again. I checked Amazon. My disclaimer here, he's not a Christian. And so there's some things in the book I don't agree with, obviously. But it is the best research one I've read. He sifts the evidence, historical, geographical, eyewitness accounts. And he does not, of course, take the interpretation that we've given here. But he is fully aware of the demonic that appears in many farms throughout history. And this is the title of his book, UFOs, Operation Trojan Horse. So you get an idea of how he thinks of the UFO phenomena. It's a Trojan horse, right? Let me read from page 1996 edition, page 192, his conclusion. Demonology, and let me stop here, by which he means evil spirits in the invisible realm and the study of them. Demonology is not just another crackpot-ology. It's the ancient and scholarly study of the monsters and demons who have seemingly coexisted with man throughout history. Thousands of books have been written on the subject, many of them authored by educated clergymen, like the Greek father who I quoted, who did one a few years ago, scientists and scholars, and uncounted numbers of well-documented demonic events readily available for every researcher. The manifestations and occurrences described in this imposing literature are similar, if not entirely identical, to the UFO phenomenon itself.
Wow.
Victims of demon mania, possession, suffer the very same medical and emotional symptoms as the UFO contactees. Again, let me explain. As we see it, UFOs are in the air, fallen angels get people's attention down on Earth. But I agree with him. You know, it's all demonic in that basic sense.
He's not a Christian, insane.
And he's not a Christian.
Yeah.
He goes on with the quote, "The devil and his demons can, according to the literature, manifest themselves in almost any form and can physically imitate anything from angels to horrifying monsters with glowing eyes, the Mothman."
Mm-hmm.
All right. "Strange objects and entities materialize and dematerialize in these stories, just as UFOs and their splendid occupants appear, disappear, walk through walls, and perform other supernatural feats." Mm-hmm. End of quote. That is the best book I've ever read, and it comes from an unbiased. He's not a Christian. He has done the research, and he says, listen, the research I've done, and I studied now the UFOs, the characteristics are exactly the same. So he concluded the UFOs and their occult deceptions are not looking after our welfare. That's how he ends the book. That's why he calls it a Trojan horse. So as we wind up here, let's take a look at Galatians 1, verses 6 and 8, 6 through 8.
"I'm astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed."
Yes. If an angel from heaven, remember 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul says Satan himself can appear as an angel of light. The answer to the occultic phenomena known as UFOs or as it's now called UAP, is Jesus, who is Lord over heaven and earth, and all authority is His. UFOs exist at His behest, as does the prince of the power of the air, to serve God's purposes until that day when Jesus returns, and there's a restoration of all things, especially of that time when there were no fallen spirits out to deceive us. And that's the Christian expectation. And here's a postscript. Are angels not something to behold? Do you have a guardian angel? Stay tuned for a future podcast, because there's always current event interest in guardian angels.
Well, thanks, Jim. You've given us a lot to think about, and perhaps you have questions or comments on it. We'd love to hear those questions or comments. Please send them to eventsandexpectations@gmail.com. That's the word events, the word and, the word expectations, all one word, @gmail.com. We will use your question on air where possible, but we will always answer you. This has been Current Events and Christian Expectations, and until next time, keep looking up.